Okay, good. We thank God for giving us the IT people and this AV expert. We commit the time to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your saving grace. We also thank you for your keeping grace, so that this morning we can come before you and learn to hear you. Lord, we commit the time to you. Lord, we pray that you speak to us. You open our hearts and help us to be open to you. We commit this time to you. We pray that the Holy Spirit, as we read your scripture, the Holy Spirit translate your own word and desire and truth into our hearts, so that we can know you, we can know your desire. The more we know you, the more we find that we need you, and the more we will be able to love you. We commit our time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Because this morning is quite hectic, quite busy, but the Lord gives us this opportunity, and I have a request. I have my limitation, but I ask that for brother and sister sitting here, you can, on one hand, you can listen to the message. On the other hand, you pray for this gathering, pray for the message, pray for me, so that I can speak without distraction. And you can pray for yourself as well, so that you can hear from the Lord. And you can pray for someone you care for in the meeting, so that all of us can receive God's feeding, God's words, and God's blessing. Last 2 months, we started to look at Luke chapter 11, verse 2 to 4, with the theme, Lord, teach us to pray. We look at Jesus' prayer life, which showed his intimate relationship with God, his Heavenly Father. We also look at that every one of us needs to make an active choice to ask Jesus' Heavenly Father to be our Heavenly Father. Otherwise, we would remain to have the devil as our real father. It is because everyone is by default the son of devil because of the sinful life we inherited from our ancestor Adam after his sin, causing sin entering into the world. So we need to make an active choice. We don't want to be ourselves in the default situation to be son of the devil. But we actively choose Heavenly Father to be our Father. Jesus is a real man living a perfect life with such an intimate relationship with God, calling him Abba. That means Baba in Chinese. He restores and receives the deep longing of our hearts towards God. Because of Adam's sins, our sinfulness has cut us off from the holy and righteous God the Father. Because of Adam's sin, our sinfulness has cut us off from the holy Father. We become fatherless. Not only we can't enjoy God as our Heavenly Father, we don't have a father knowing how to father us with sacrificial fatherly love to protect us, to provide us, or to train us, to teach us. Even when we become fathers, for some of you, you are the father, you become the father already. I'm a father already. But we also don't know how to father our children with sacrificial fatherly love, to protect, to provide, and to train them. We are all fatherless and cause our children fatherless. However, because of Jesus' salvation, those who believe in Jesus can now call the Creator God, the great mighty God, Abba Father. Among the creation, no angels can call God with such an intimate name. Baba, Abba, Abba Father. Not to say the hills, the grass, the seas, the trees, the birds. All the animals, they can't. Only children of God can call God, the mighty God, Abba Father. Even for God's chosen Israel nation, God can only be the father of the whole Israel nation, but not of individual Israelite. But we, in New Testament, we can call our mighty God Creator, Abba Father. Our Heavenly Father, He is the very basis of our prayer. He is the one you and I pray to. This morning I would like to continue with the same theme, teach us to pray. Let us look at the same passage we looked at last time. Let us read Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4 together. The version I use today is ESV. How about we read this together? Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." This morning, I would like to continue to look at prayer from verse 2. Last time, we focused on the word Father in this verse. In order to learn to pray, we need to learn to know the Heavenly Father personally. But this time, we would like to focus on the word Father again, but this time, we use a new perspective. The perspective of a child towards the Heavenly Father. So we look at the child from child's perspective. To look at that, to look at how to pray as a child. Before we start, may I ask you a question? What do you like little child when they are not crying? What are the lovely characteristics of a child you like the most? Think about that. You see a little child, usually you feel that little child lovely, right? If you feel that lovely, or if somehow, sometime you feel that lovely, what do the thing, the little child characteristic he has or she has, make you feel that she or he is lovely? What is the characteristic?
The innocence.
Sorry?
The innocence.
Innocent.
Innocent. Yeah, innocent. Yeah, that's right, innocent. Although actually, child can be not innocent. Like he can lie, he can, you know, throw temper. What else? Sorry?
Obedient.
Obedient, yeah, obedient. Although some child doesn't obey, he or she doesn't listen. And what else?
They depend on you.
Sorry?
They depend on you.
Depend on you. Even they are not innocent, lying, or grumpy, or they are not obedient, when they need, they depend on you. Dependence is a characteristic of a little child. Okay, what else?
Trust.
Trust. Yeah, they trust because they trust the mom, so they feel secure before the mom, so they depend on the mom. A child has a very important characteristic. Moses, what do you think? Lovely characteristic. You don't know? Sorry?
You're innocent. You already
said innocent.
Innocent. Apart from, yeah, apart from innocent.
They love you.
They love me, yeah, they love the mom and father, yeah, they love you, yeah. Although child can be very self-centered. When they're hungry at night, they don't bother whether you are tired or not, they will cry and ask you to feed them. What else? Lovely character.
You're playful as well.
Sorry?
Playful.
Playful. Happy, playful. One important thing. What thing you hate most from the adult? Or you dislike the adult? And those things, usually, a little child doesn't have that.
Simple.
Sorry?
Simple.
Simple. Yeah, simple. And more direct word is, they are straightforward. They are real. They don't pretend. They are genuine. No pretense, straightforward. And also they are dependent. Simple trust. I would like to speak on this topic, pray as a child, in three main points. Or two main points to see how far we can go. The first one is, be real as a child. Let us look at this first main point. Be real as a child before God. As our discussion, one characteristic of a child is that they are simple and straightforward. Simple means simply like children are real, they are genuine, they don't pretend, or they don't know how to pretend, or they don't need to pretend. They express what they think and what they are. When we go out to school to see our classmates, or go to work to see our colleagues or see our clients, we will try to dress ourselves to present ourselves properly. We usually won't dress like when we are resting at home, or even like when we work from home during the COVID time. We want to present our own good self or a better self in order to do our job better in a more professional way. When we go out to see our friends, we also usually wear more properly to present our better self before our friends, especially those we are not very close. We want to win acceptance from friends, so we tend to give a better impression to others in order to gain acceptance or appreciation or even admiration. We tend to avoid showing our shortcomings or weaknesses to others to avoid embarrassment or disappointment or rejection or even despise. These are all understandable. However, when we come to God, He is our Heavenly Father. We don't need to pretend ourselves to be a better self and present a good me. We can come to Him with a real me, real self, laid bare and without covering up. Actually, there is nothing we can hide from our Heavenly Father. God said in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. Caleb, Nina, would you please look out? Yeah. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him? Today you may do something you want to hide from some people. Secretly doing something. But no one can hide from God. God said, can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him? Of course not. We can come as we are to our Heavenly Father. We don't need to pretend and cover up. Whether we come with our true self or pretended self, He knows us through and through. Therefore, when we find our own sin, weaknesses, shortcomings, and inadequacy before Him, He won't embarrass us. He won't be disappointed by us because He knew us through and through in the first place. He also won't reject us and despise us because the Lord saying, those who love in the world, those people he loves, he loved them till the end. The love of God is everlasting. Because he has already chosen us to love us with a fatherly, sacrificial love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 said, God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even we are so bad, he is willing to use sacrificial love to love us. So we don't need to pretend. We can be real. It's okay to be real before God. It may not be okay to be real before people, unless this person really loves me. But it's okay to be real before our Father, Heavenly Father. Not only is it okay for us to be real before God, it is also important for us to be real before God. Jesus said, he came not for the righteous one, but for the sinners. He said that because he can only change. Why Jesus said that, I come not for the righteous, but for the sinners? Because he knows very well. Jesus, he can only change the real sinful me, but not the apparent righteous, but unreal, pretended me. That's why Jesus prefers sinners more than those apparently morally good, but hypocrites. Those people Jesus can't help. Do you know why sometimes we find our prayer to God not satisfying, or not meaningful, or not useful, or lack of transforming power? It might be because we keep trying to present a good me, a good self, but not a real me to God. It is much harder for God to help a man pretending to be good than to help a bad man without pretense. In the past, I studied a little bit of counseling. I found that helping a pretending client as a counselor is very time consuming, or even a waste of time. The counseling process is like going in circles, but not dealing with the main issue, not dealing with the real need of the person. In this case, I won't be able to really understand the client. So I can't know his real need in order to explore and address his core issues, his core sin, or his hidden sin, or his wrong attitude, or his misunderstanding. Consequently, in this case, I am not able to help the client to go to the Lord, to seek help, and to experience the Lord's help, because he doesn't come with a real self. Just like if you have a physical health problem and you go to see a doctor. When a doctor tries to understand the physical symptoms of your illness, you don't want to disclose your problem. And you tell him, I'm fine. Or even mislead the doctor of your symptoms. Your visit to the doctor is just a waste of your time and his time. That's why as a counselor, one of the vital work is to establish a trusting relationship with the client. Only when the client trusts you, he feels more comfortable and he's able to be real to you. He has the confidence that even you know his real me, you will still accept and care for him. Once you establish this relationship, the counseling session will be much more effective and helpful, meaningful. This is not only true in counseling session. This is true in all human relationships, like children to their parents, like husband to his wife, or wife to his husband, brothers and sisters in the regular church meetings and gatherings, or individual personal fellowship. Openness and acceptance. One person open to you, You are the listener and you accept him. Openness and acceptance are essential for a trusting and close relationship, which can heal and grow us into the likeness of Christ. Yes, open yourself to another human being may not be very safe and can sometimes be very dangerous. The listener might not be able to handle properly or even understand properly with love and with godliness. However, it is very safe to open yourself to God. He understands, and he surely knows how to handle properly and respond to you. Respond to your real self. Only when you are willing to be transparent towards God, he can shine light on you. His light has healing power. God desires us to be real before him. Nathanael in the New Testament is an example. When Jesus saw him, no pretense. Jesus saw this characteristic very important. More important than his sins. Because only when he is willing to be no pretense, Jesus can show that, reveal the glory to him, show that he is a sinner. So in John chapter 1, verse 47, he said, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Of course, Jesus knows Nathanael is a sinner, like everyone else in the world. But Jesus said that there was no deceit in Nathanael, because Nathanael's willingness to be real, his sincerity, was what Jesus wanted of him and commanded of him. After David sinned through adultery and murder, he prayed to God in Psalm 51, verse 6. David said, he prayed, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." David knew that God desires us to be true to him in our inner being. As we are willing to be real before him, God is going to teach us wisdom in the hidden part of our heart. You know, a lot of our outward behavior is affected by the inner hidden condition of our heart. If you think you are an angry person, it reveals something hidden in your heart. If you are a greedy person, it shows that there's some hidden thing in your heart. If you're jealous, and so on. But once we have God's wisdom and God's light can come into our heart, our hidden place, the light shines in our hidden place, cleanses it, heals it, and we can shine his light, reflect his light from us, and then shine outwardly. The real and main work of God on us are not starting from the outside and going inside. God works that starts from the inside, then shows forth outside. Just like a candle in a lantern. The candle is not putting outside of the lantern. The light starts from the candle inside the lantern. And then the light inside shines forth through the lantern to the surrounding. Some Christians, they don't want to pray. One reason might be they find praying boring, routine, no impact to life, no transforming power. Actually, Christian prayer to their God should have transforming power. The more a Christian prays, the more she or he will be transformed to be the image of Christ their Lord. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If we are willing to turn to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will free us to have our veils removed. When we are willing to be real, no cover up before our Lord, we will receive His shining and cleansing and healing light through beholding His glory. In this way, you and I, with unveiled face, will beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We will be more and more like Christ. We will enjoy Him more and more. After looking at learning to be real before God as a child, let us now look at the second main point, learning to be dependent on God as a child. But before we move on, do you feel hot? Do you feel hot? Okay. If it is too hot, we'll be sleepy. Okay. Another characteristic of a child, apart from the no pretense, real, is the dependence on the mom or father. I remember when Joy was little, she always needed me or Yvonne to be around within her sight, especially Yvonne because she's at home. Now when she becomes mom herself, she finds that her children need her similarly. Otherwise, they will feel scared and unsettled. So it is okay for a child to be scary or fearful. This is what children are. That's why they need their moms. When a scared or unsettled child is back to his mom's bosom, holding by her, the child becomes restful very quickly. The child needs connection with mom. Once the child is connected with his mom, he feels secure. Otherwise, he feels helpless. This helplessness causes the little child to be very dependent on their moms. Similarly, the helplessness of a Christian motivates, encourages the Christian to pray more earnestly and unceasingly, to depend on God and seek the Heavenly Father. Do you feel helpless? Think about that. Have you felt helpless? Josephine, have you been feeling helpless? Yeah, okay. Normally, elderly people feel helpless. Young people also feel helpless. When I say, have you felt helpless? In the past, you might say yes. Or even I ask, do you feel helpless? Now, do you have something you feel helpless? Or you don't feel helpless? You don't need any help. You don't need any help from others because you have already got God's help. Just like what Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. If this is the case, if this is your case, you don't need others' help. Praise God. Or you don't need help, any help from others, because you're already self-sufficient. You say, I'm grown up, I finished my study, I have my job, a good job, earn a lot of money. I'm self-sufficient. Do you need help? We neglect prayer because we think we are doing well. We don't need God. We can live our life fine. Our ways are smooth and our life is comfortable. We don't see the need to pray because we don't see that we need help from God. Like a child, when he enjoys and immerses himself in his own fun and games outside the home. He forgets his home and forgets his mom until even when it is turning dark and dangerous. That's why sometimes out of love, God allows hardship to turn our heart back to God from the vanity of the world and from the danger of the idols, of the deceit from the world. As last century, a God servant called C.S. Lewis, he said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. It's true, isn't it? But on the other hand, we can say that. Often, we can only hear God's in our pleasure as a very soft whispers, not much impact, not being noticed. And we hear God's in our conscience as clear speaking voice. The conscience is the place. If we quiet down, counting is a quiet, most easy place to hear God's words. However, sometimes God needs to shout through our unexpected hardship or pain when our conscience becomes numb and dull. Of course, we don't want to do that. We don't want to put ourselves in a low situation. Need God to shout to us through hardship and pain. God doesn't want to do that. But in order to save us and discipline us, sometimes he needs to do that. He wants to have fellowship with us in our conscience, in our through revelation. But if we ignore, sometimes he needs to do that. Of course, sometimes God allows suffering to come upon us while we are wandering away from him, in order to discipline us and draw us back to him. He might sometimes put us in a helpless situation that we have no way to go except going straight back to him. On the other hand, sometimes allows suffering to come to us in order to train us, not because we are bad, but in order to train us better, refine us. How does God train and refine us? Through bringing us to our helplessness. In our helplessness, we sense the very need of prayer. Through prayer, we can be brought to the deeper dependence on him and closer relationship with him. Like Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. In this you rejoice through now for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perish, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Sometimes the Lord allows trials to come to us, to refine us. Of course, the feeling of helplessness does not only can be from trials or pain. A man, a woman, in usual daily life, can also find deep sense of helplessness in their smooth, comfortable life. They can still find immense helplessness. Why? Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 4 to 5, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How can you have the sense of helplessness while you don't have much outward or noticeable hardship? You can. When we really understand what Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you really think that you can do nothing apart from Jesus? Do you really think that or understand that? Do you think that apart from Jesus, your non-Christian friends can do nothing? They don't have Jesus. Can they? Is it true that they can do nothing? Of course. Apart from Jesus, they can do a lot of things, including achieving a comfortable lifestyle, good profession, wealth and health, and even happy family. They can. They can be able to do all this, might be. But they can't bear spiritual fruit for God. They can't bear those precious, valuable, life-giving spiritual fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and give glory to God. They can't. They can't bear fruit. They don't have God's living words to feed the hungry soul, to quench the inner thirst of their own and other people, including their family and children. They don't have them. This is true to non-Christian. But this is also true for Christians. Without an abiding relationship and prayer life with Christ, this sense of helplessness of a Christian to experience and to bear fruit in his usual daily living can cause and motivate him or her to pray with deep dependence continuously to God. So when you look at some person, they are very fortunate or very lucky or very blessed outside. He had that and that and that. But he might not be very sad inside, because he senses the helplessness. He finds that he doesn't have the fruit he wants and desires and thirst of. He wants to live for the Lord, to bear fruit, but he can't. Although he has all those good things out. So a person, outwardly, easy, doesn't mean inwardly he is easy. Do you desire to experience to bear fruit and have the impact of spiritual fruit in your life? Do you really understand? Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. No spiritual fruit at all. At the moment, do you see your helplessness in growing and be more like Jesus? As young men and women, do you see your helplessness in preaching gospel and witnessing Christ to your classmates or friends for God? Do you see the helplessness? As parents, do you see the helplessness in raising godly offspring for God? If you have, thank God for you. Your helplessness in bearing spiritual fruit to feed your children together with God's words, it can bring you to prayer. Amos chapter 8 verse 11 said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." In Sydney, we don't have famine of bread or thirst of water. Even currently, the inflation is getting higher and higher, the prices keeping increasing. To most of us, including our children, we still have enough food and sufficient clean water. But we have the famine of hearing of God's words. Why famine of God's word come upon to our children? Because we don't have adequate God's words in our lives to be seen by our children. They don't have the appetite of God's word. We don't have digested and experienced God's word to feed them, to witness to them. So that's why they are in spiritual famine as well. Do you see your helplessness on this matter? As husband or wife, do you see your helplessness in bearing spiritual fruit to supply life to your spouse, to love your wife, to respect your husband? Do you have this expectation of yourself, or even ambition, as a parent, as married couple, or as young man and woman? Did you have this expectation and ambition before, but today you are discouraged? You have tried very seriously in the past, but failed. So you are very discouraged today. But don't be discouraged. Somehow your discouragement can be good for you. Because your discouragement can teach you to disappoint for yourself, helping you to see you are inadequate. Helping to see, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Your disappointment to yourself can draw you to see your helplessness. You need that sense of helplessness, which can lead you to deeper dependence on God through prayer. Actually, if you haven't seriously wanted to bear fruit, you haven't seriously want to pursue to bear spiritual fruit, then you won't be able to see your helplessness. Because you won't see how difficult it is to bear fruit for the Lord. Lack of desire of spiritual fruit and seeing your helplessness, you will be lack of dependence on God. And as you do not have a deep dependence on God in your daily life, you won't have the desire and sense of necessity to pray. That's why many Christians living in a very worldly life in this world, similar to their non-Christians, they don't have expectation or ambition of abundant life with spiritual fruit. They don't desire for spiritual fruit or godly character. Of course, they can't have the sense of helplessness. And they can continue to suffer. They're willing to continue to suffer spiritual loss for their life and cause their children suffer spiritual starvation. They're willing to do that because they don't see their helplessness. They don't have spiritual fruit from them. We have talked about being real as a child before God. By the blood of Jesus, we can go to God as we are. The hindrance of meaningful and transforming prayer is pretense. It's presenting our good self but not real self to God. For this, we need to learn to be real as a child before God. Second, we also look at being dependent on God as a child, desiring bearing spiritual fruit, and seeing our own helplessness. It is an important motivation of prayer. We don't need to be discouraged in our hopelessness. Instead, through prayer, we can turn our disappointment to ourselves, turn it to dependence on God. I would like to talk how to pray as a child to his father. But we don't have time. As a child, he can talk about everything, asking anything to the father. Dongdong told me his son, Stephen, talks randomly and asks random questions, whatever he sees while he's walking or in a car. Similar. We can talk to our Heavenly Father as a child, about everything. We can ask anything. No topic interested to the child is not interested to our wise father. A wise father cares for each question from his son because he cares for his son and his interest. Not only he's interested, but also he knows how to respond to his son's question with his wisdom and love. This is our Heavenly Father. We can be assured of his goodness and power. Not only we can learn to talk to our Heavenly Father, whatever time we, at whatever situation, on whatever topics, with whatever feeling, we can also set apart scheduled time to talk, learn to talk to him. If you want to know or establish friendship with a person, you need to have quality time with that person. If you want to have a soul talk conversation between two souls, have a soul talk with a good friend, you need to set apart the time and schedule it so that you two can meet together to learn to be focused, attention to one another, to learn to express yourself, and learn to be a good listener, to understand one another. Through these quality times, relationship can be built. Mutual understanding and mutual trust through love can grow. Consequently, satisfaction and enjoyment of the relationship also grows. It can happen between Christian companions, father and son, husband and wife, or young and elderly brothers, elderly and young sisters. Similarly, if we want to learn to draw close to the Heavenly Father, we can set apart scheduled time to pray, have quality time with God. For those who have not yet developed a scheduled regular quality time of prayer, I encourage you to set apart a time each day to learn to pray. This daily prayer time does not need to be long or too ambitious. You can start with a short one, like 5 minutes. For the start, if you have never done it, if you're consistent and do it every day, you will be able to learn prayer and enjoy prayer so that you want to increase the duration of your quality time with God. In these 5 minutes, you should be able to give your full attention to God. You can learn to be real and no cover-up before God. Don't try to present your good self, but present your real self. Bring your helplessness to God in these 5 minutes. This 5 minutes is the time which has no external distraction. So you need to find a time, find a place without distraction. These 5 minutes can be at the start of the day. If this is what you have scheduled, you need to prepare that in previous night before the morning. For example, you need to manage the time and activities before sleep so that the following morning in the prayer time, you won't be distracted by tiredness. Or even you wake up too late and miss the scheduled time, quality time of prayer. So you need to manage your time better last night. You may be a very busy person, a busy student or a busy stay-home mom with unfinished work to do for the family. But don't let your busyness to stop your quality time of prayer with God. Instead, since you have too many things to cope, you need to keep this quality time of prayer in order to receive help from God through prayer. Martin Luther is a God servant with important and heavy loads of responsibilities. He once said, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer each day." We are not Martin Luther, but we are human beings. We need quality time. If you don't have yet, you start from 5 minutes. My message stops here. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you. We pray that, Lord, the scripture we have been reading, and we pray that the Holy Spirit speak in our hearts to bring us to you. Help us to learn to pray as a child to our dear Heavenly Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our meeting stops here, and we have a morning tea.